believer, now the opposite. You die in your sins or you die in Christ, right? You die in your sins, eternal separation. You die in Christ to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Far better to depart and to be with Christ. And it'll be a wonderful thing to, as David put it in Psalm 17, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Be like waking up. You'll be in the presence of God. It'll be a wonderful thing. So, fear not. I have control of death and of where you're going to be in eternity. Fear not. And when you know that, you know you're in the hand of God, it makes a difference. And I've seen people die with Christ and die without Christ. There's a difference there, you know. I mean, even on this side of heaven, and where you see there's a heavenly peace. You know, I believe it's just like with Lazarus, the angels came and they carried him. I believe that's exactly what happens. And you die, there's special grace he's going to give you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. And you know, here's the stark reality, brethren. You're going to die. Unless the Lord comes first, right? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But either way, you had the victory. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we also know we're going to have a resurrection. My time is up. But let's end with this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So even the physical death part of it is just temporary. He's going to raise that body up again with the power by which he's able to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain and that the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So it's a positive prospect. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to have a resurrection body. Now, in conclusion tonight, there's a fear of God, but then there's having no fear. There's a fear where you realize he's holy. You know, he's God. I'm accountable to him. I'm going to come before him. This is the one who is my judge, and this is the one who's got the eyes as of a flame of fire, even in this life, right? He's the Lord. So it's good to serve him with reverence and godly fear. It's good not to take things lightly, you know, not to take sin lightly. He is holy. And I believe we need more of a consciousness of that in the age in which we live. Not to have a light Christianity that doesn't have a reverence for God. And it carries over into life, doesn't it? It's not just the times of worship, as important as that is, but it's a daily life. You know, if you know him in this way, it will affect your conduct. That's what God wants. In fact, we're going to see in the letters to the churches, he speaks as the one that has the eyes of a flame of fire. He speaks as the one who has the feet that burn in the furnace. You know, he speaks as the omniscient judge, and that's the one who's in the midst of the churches today. So it's good to know him in this way. But then at the same time, fear not. Put his right hand on John. Don't be afraid. Don't have a slavish type of tormenting fear. Not when you're a believer, because he's eternal and he's the Redeemer and he's risen and he's ministering to us and he's in control of death, life and death. And so you're in his hand, you know, as a child of God. So there's no reason. Well, what reason is there to fear? Now, what big apprehension is there when you're in the hands of an eternal God, when he's already redeemed your soul? When he is for you, and he's even already ordained how long you're going to live. So what can you do about it, huh? You just rest in the Lord and be of good cheer as a child of God. If you're not a child of God tonight, though, And you want to come to the cross, right? You want to meet him as your Redeemer. There's no other way but that. You can't go around the cross. And you have to come as a sinner. And it can't just be a profession of faith. It'll never get it. God looks at the heart, doesn't he? He's looking to genuine faith. And there is a genuine repentance that goes with that. There's a change of mind. If you really believe, where you're trusting in him and nothing in yourself. But then you can, he himself greatly assures you, doesn't he? Fear not when you're his child. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this revelation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is glorified. He's in heaven. And help us, Father, to see him as he is by the help of the Holy Spirit, to have a greater understanding, a greater view of him. May we see Jesus as he is. Help us, Father. And we look forward to the time where we'll see him face to face. And we do thank thee for thy grace toward us, the ministry of our Savior toward us, the acceptance we have in him, the future we have in him, and that he's in control. We pray, bless your word to our hearts tonight. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.